Hello and welcome to the latest Science of Sport podcast. I'm your host Matt Solomon, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Warren Bradley. So Warren is the founder of Hytro, a company which works on blood flow restriction to improve performance and enhance recovery. So who better today to discuss how you can use blood flow restriction to improve your sporting performance? So without further ado, it's time to welcome Warren onto the show. Warren, welcome to the Science of Sport podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, mate. It's only been 20 months since our last one, I'd say.
Something like that. So yeah. For those who didn't listen to the first one, can you give us a quick update as to who you are and what you've been up to and potentially what you've been up to in the meantime as well?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So I'm Warren Bradley. I'm the founder and chief scientific officer at Hytro. I'll give you the really quick whistle stop tour of what Hytro is and why it exists, because it'll just set the context for the call, I guess. So I spent just over a decade working in professional sports. I worked in the Premier League, Championship, professional rugby, international rugby, the Olympic cycles, load of sports. I did a PhD simultaneous. And because of those kind of two hats, I was able to critique what was going on in clubs. Saw something called blood flow restriction training, which really captured my interest. And it was used to regenerate muscle tissues for rehab and that type of thing. But it was very limited because of the complexity of cuffs that were available. So I conceived of a way to simplify it. Embedded the tech into wearables, which is t-shirts and shorts, which is now Hytro. I got that patented, and yeah, we created the business off the back of that. So that's what Hytro is. That's why I'm the founder of currently. And just to dip into what blood flow restriction is, as you just asked. So blood flow restriction training has been around for several decades. Gosh, it must be nearly 70 years now. And it's been used traditionally for its ability to regenerate muscle tissue, structural tissues for rehab without having to load the body. So you can get similar strength and hypertrophy adaptations as lifting heavy weights, but lifting body weight or very little weight. And it works by applying a really strong circumferential pressure around the upper arms or the upper leg at the very proximal point to the very top. And what that does is it allows blood to flow into the limb and it restricts the return flow back to the body, which obviously causes a net pooling. So it's like turning the tap on in the sink and putting in the plug. Because of that, we're creating metabolic waste and buildup like lactate. We're creating swelling and stress. And because of that, the body does a whole heap of cool reactions in response, which basically creates adaptations. And it can be used in many different ways, but traditionally it was rehab. And what we've seen in recent years is this use in recovery and hypertrophy and in strength and all these other in these other areas. And we really heavily focus on recovery at Hytro.
Absolutely excellent. So before we get into how you do that and all of the cool, interesting stuff and the fact that, yeah, next recovery, you can also get a sweet muscle pump, which makes you look great. Before we get into that, there's going to be some people who are worried about occluding blood, right? So can you talk us through the dangers or the risks associated with blood flow restriction?
Yeah, of course. It's a good question. So there's, possibly over 1,000 studies at this point, definitely many hundreds that prove the safety and efficacy of blood flow restriction training. So long as, here's the caveat, that it's applied correctly. So it has to be applied at the most proximal point of the limb, the top quarter portion, and it has to be applied subocclusively so that we don't close off the artery. What we want to do is partially restrict the artery, but close off the veins, essentially. So blood can go in and blood is restricted from coming out. If you satisfy those ticks, it's completely safe. And that's actually why we built Hytro the way we built it, because anyone can use it without supervision and it's done for you. It's already safe. You put it on, it's in the right place, and the pressure is already correct. Now, there would be contraindications, just like exercise. So, for example, if you have a current blood clot or if you have a family history of blood clotting, you would be at risk, because if you do exercise, even with a blood clot, you can move that and obviously you can cause all sorts of issues. There are some specific to BFR, such as if you had a wound on the arm here, say here, and you applied blood flow restriction at the top, and it was an open wound, should I say, that will bleed, obviously, because you're creating pressure in the limb. So things like that, don't do BFR until that wound is closed. And then the last kind of really important one is severe hypertension. So obviously those cardiovascular system issues, but mainly at the severe end, when we're at the mediocre to low end, it's actually very beneficial for those ailments. And we are looking at research to support things like heart attack and stroke victims with BFR. So it's extremely safe across most population or all populations, as long as it's used properly. And that's why we built Hytro, safe to use without supervision.
Perfect. So you mentioned recovery, obviously. How does blood flow restriction enhance recovery? Because It sounds as if it's adding more stress, right? So if we're like, right, okay, blood pooling, you're going to cause more of a stimulus, but it then enhances recovery. So can you walk us through what happens, what the scientific physiology is underpinning that?
Yeah, sure. So in short, the outcome we get from blood flow restriction or recovery blood flow restriction is a reduction in DOMS, so reduction in muscle soreness, reductions in joint pain. It has a very strong analgesic, which is basically a pain modulator. Improves neuromuscular function, and it basically, the main thing really is it makes athletes feel better immediately because you can feel BFR working. It's very obvious. You can feel the swelling. You can start to see the color discoloration, the vascularity starting to pop. As you said, the pump, it's pretty obvious, and you can feel that, particularly when you unstrap or release the pressure, because you can feel the ejection of blood. You can feel that flush. It's a really nice feeling. It's like a hot, cold flush. But just to talk about the mechanism, so we'll go a little bit deep into the science here. Stop me at any point.
All good.
Please do. You know what I'm like. So what it does essentially is, as I mentioned before, blood flows into the limb and the return flow is restricted by the strap. That blood is oxygenated as it goes in, but then it's used for glycolysis. So it becomes deoxygenated in that limb and it gets trapped. So your muscles basically become hypoxic because they get all this deoxygenated blood filling in that muscle. And what that does is it stimulates or upregulates muscle protein synthesis. So that metabolite buildup, that stretching of the muscle cells trigger muscle protein synthesis, a central regulatory pathway for recovery and muscle synthesis, basically. The second thing that it, so that's mechanism number one. The second thing it does is when you unstrap, so after about a five minute period of being strapped in with BFR, when you unstrap, there's a powerful ejection or flush of that blood that was stuck in the limb. So it's like blowing up a balloon and letting go. It's a powerful ejection. And when that happens, it removes inflammatory markers, waste, materials, the metabolites that have been built up, and it removes it quite forcefully, if you can imagine all that pressure that's built up. So that's a really good recovery mechanism. And then the third thing that happens is once you've released that strap is something called reperfusion. And what that basically means is fresh blood is driven into the structural tissues and the muscles. Now, the really cool thing, which I want to talk to you about in a bit, and it's quite a new thing, is the symbiosis with nutrition here. So blood that's fresh has been driven in, but what's in the blood? Whatever you've consumed previous, right? So there's always things like glucose, amino acids, perhaps collagen, stuff in there. So if you can drive that into the muscle through recovery with BFR, you're going to get a better uptake and recovery stimulus. So yeah, three mechanisms: hormonal upregulation, the flush, and then the fresh blood driven into the structural tissues. But let me give you, if I may, just a couple of examples of how to use it. That's the mechanism, yep. Right? So you can use it in two distinct kind of categories. One is passive recovery. So that's passive, independent of exercise, at rest, seated, laid down, or even just kind of continuation of daily activities like, I don't know, milling around the kitchen, having a team meeting after a game, you know, things like that. And it's a really easy thing to do for athletes when they don't have equipment available. So again, probably a better example would be after a game in the changing rooms, there's nothing really available typically for most teams who don't have, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds budget and ice baths everywhere. So while you're sat down having a recovery shake or having some food or having a team meeting, this is something you can easily implement. You pull on some hydro shorts and strap in and you can do passive BFR. The other way would be kind of on coaches or on planes, you know, typically environments where you can't do much. You may be lucky and have a Premier League coach with two Normatex at the back or some of the devices, but even then you've got a queue, the whole journey to get onto them. You're restricted, you're stuck at the back. Whereas if you wear something like Hytro, everyone can do it simultaneously, very quickly, very simply, and very efficiently. Same on flights. So passive BFR is a really good thing to do when you can't do anything else and it's just kind of, well, stuck here, let's get some recovery in, let's expedite that process. The second way is active recovery BFR. This is typically done on a game day plus one or two. So say you're in Premier League football club, let's use Everton as an example. It's a club that uses Hydro.
Well done, good choice. That's my favorite part of the podcast till now. Good. My sins in a former life, I've got to watch for that every weekend. Sorry, continue.
Mate, well, no, I mean, fantastic guys as well. We've worked with Everton for 3 years now. They use Hydro extremely well, and they've been really innovative. So some of the ways we now promote its use have been actually created by them. So for example, they come in and they do a walk around the pitch, like a team walk. And that's obviously great, like psychological team building, like get a bit of a recovery stim in, but it's not that significant. You add the shorts on top and go for a walk and strap in, you're actually getting a really significant recovery stim. You're getting all that good stuff I talked about before, but with the additional locomotion, you're getting acceleration. So you get more swelling, more flushing, more reperfusion. So just by walking while strapped in, you get an incredible recovery stim. Other ways you could use it, so like Newcastle United, they would, do you like Newcastle United too?
No, mate.
Is that? No.
it's a pretty limited, I'm going to be honest. There's an F1 program just there as well. But anyway, carry on.
Look, it's our football podcast.
And I'm rudely interrupting Warren to make sure that you are up to date on the Science of Sport Coach Academy. Coach Academy is an overgrowing library of sports science courses which are broken down into bite-sized chunks. So if you're enjoying today's podcast and you'll get your hands on some more great sports science information, all you have to do is hit the link in the show notes in just a few minutes' time and you can get in there completely for free for the next week. What's more, every time you complete one of the courses, you get a certificate of completion to prove your ongoing education. So hit that link in just a few minutes' time. Yeah, we're getting something different. Newcastle.
So, I mean, there's loads of teams I could name, most of the Premier League, to be honest, that do this one, but it's on a bike flush. So that's something you typically do anyway in a club. But you can accelerate the processes by adding blood flow restriction to that. So 70 to 100 watts on a bike, slow cadence, you know, it's not that intense. It's a normal bike recovery flush. Add the BFR and you're accelerating the processes. So you're getting an incredible recovery stim there. And they're just a couple of examples. You could do mobility, plyometrics, stretching. You can literally do pretty much any recovery thing you did before, add BFR on top, and you're going to accelerate and augment the physiological adaptations you're going to get.
And when it comes to then, absolutely, yeah. When it comes to then things like sets, reps, time, that kind of stuff, obviously there's different modalities going on there. Is there like a rule of thumb for how long, or you mentioned 5 minutes, for example, but one time 5 minutes, 10 times 5 minutes, what's the recommendation there?
Yeah, great question. So the literature has shown a few different ways to do it, but the most common use is 5 minutes times three. And again, there's different rest periods between those rounds, anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes. I like to use two to keep it a bit more condensed. Also, we've used the NIRS machine to see the capillary refill. It happens in about a minute, so I think 2 minutes is fine. So we promote 5 minutes times three with 2 minutes off. And that's across the board. So that's passively, if you're sat down, laid down, whatever, walking around, or if you're on the bike or stretching mobility. 5 minutes, 2 minutes off on straps times three. It's really important to note, though, that it's three rounds, because that the gaps where you unstrap and rest is where you get the flushing and the reperfusion. And there's research to show that three events of reperfusion are optimal for recovery. So, yeah, we do recommend 3x5 with 2 minutes off.
Excellent. And you mentioned earlier some like combination things, right? And you mentioned nutrition is one of the options. Yeah, obviously, it sounds pretty logical. Like you're going to eat some foods. It's going to give you some nice, delicious things going on in there. It's going to give your blood some energy to then refuel your muscles, some extra protein, whatever. Can you talk us through that process? So how in this case, blood flow restriction can then, augment recovery from the nutritional standpoint?
I mean, this is really particularly interesting for me because part of my PhD, well, a lot of it was in nutrition interventions. And yeah, the symbiosis with nutrition and BFR was never really known, but it's so obvious that I can't believe it hasn't been done more. So we're actually doing some research now where we're soliciting universities to do this research, to really look at the absorption rate of nutrients from doing BFR for recovery. But the hypothesis is, let me rewind. There's a paper that came out in 2019 that looked at the glucose uptake in the leg doing BFR. And what happens essentially is something called a GLUT4 transporter. It's a little thing that basically shuttles molecules of glucose into the muscle. It's a shuttle. You can improve the effectiveness and efficiency of that and shuttle more glucose into the muscle while doing BFR. So it lends itself to actually recovery. So that was during exercise with BFR. But if you're still creating the BFR stimulus and you're creating this reperfusion, then my hypothesis is that it will do the same thing. It will shuttle more glucose into the muscle. It makes complete sense scientifically, but it hasn't been tested, and that's what we're going to test. But equally, if you look at the molecular size of glucose and then look at the molecular size of a load of amino acids, it stands to reason that they would also, they're very similar, sorry, in size. It stands to reason that they would also be able to be shuttled in more efficiently. So if you think after a game, if you've got a 2 or 3 game week, or even some sports that play all the time, you've got an onus on you to recover quickly. You want to get back to peak levels as soon as possible, or at least somewhere near that if you've got a game in a couple of days. One of the ways to do that, or the main way, is nutrition and sleep. So if we can enhance the nutrient absorption of that post-game shake and meal, that's going to really, really augment that recovery process. It's going to be extremely important. So I think this is going to be a game changer, to be honest, in professional sports and generally recreational sports, because you have your type 1 recovery, nutrition, sleep, perhaps stress management is a third. Other than that, everything is realistically a cherry on top. You know, you have some decent impact from some recovery modalities like BFR, but they're a cherry on top of the others. If we can enhance those type 1s with BFR, it becomes a different ballgame. It becomes something within that category. It becomes a non-negotiable for me. So I'm really excited to get that study done. We're planning it at the moment. And yeah, we've got a lot of interest. There's a lot of universities that are biting our hands off to do this research too. So I think we're on to something.
Absolutely excellent. I think that's a really, really interesting one for the future. And obviously, with the future in mind, yeah, what is the future of blood flow restriction as a modality to either increase performance or improve recovery? How do you see that moving in the next maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 years?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We've seen a lot of movement in the past 10 years for sure. So it's been around for a long time, as I said, but typically rehab. But with the advancements in tech and just more innovation, people are starting to use it in different ways, like recovery. Like the impact it's having in recovery is phenomenal. And that wasn't really done 20 years ago, right? And I think it's things that we're doing at Hytro really as well that are pioneering this space. So we're doing a lot of research. We've got two publications, four lab studies, and then the 15 applied studies either finished or ongoing. So there's a lot of research happening with pro clubs and whatnot. And we're looking at some pretty cool stuff. So I should give you one example. With Oxford United, we did an ice bath plus BFR study to see, can that stacked modality enhance recovery? And lo and behold, it does. And what we found is, so the protocol was 5 minutes in a 7-degree ice bath on its own, the 3x5 minutes of BFR on its own, or 5 minutes in the ice bath at 7 degrees with the BFR applied. And what we found was the combination was almost double as effective as the other two in terms of muscle soreness, joint pain, fatigue, and energy, followed by BFR, followed by ice. Now, they were very similar, but the two combined were far compounded one another, which is really interesting. We've done the same with Gloucester Rugby and saunas. We're looking at recovery and preparation, combining BFR in a sauna. Now, none of this could be done before with previous devices because they were electric, wired, app-based devices, uncomfortable, cumbersome. But with shorts that you just strap in and go sit down and walk around, like, it's extremely easy. So we've actually unlocked the ability to do all this new research. But aside from the kind of stacked modalities, there's one thing I want to drop on this pod, which is really, really exciting. And I've got to be careful because we are under NDA on this. So Hytro may or may not be going to space next month, which has blown my mind, essentially. And one thing I can say on that is we've been invited to NASA, to the Houston Space Station, and we're going next week, 16th of this month. And that's to do a technical interchange meeting. So we're going to meet some astronauts, some engineers, different kind of personnel, and other companies that are working with NASA. And it's just showing us this whole other world of opportunities for BFR. Like, I never expected to be, you know, sending a product up to space. Maybe sending a product up to space. Sorry. I do need to be very careful. But it's just incredible the things that are unfolding in front of us. I mean, we've also just signed a contract with Alpine Motorsport. So we've worked with them for a few years. And we're now signed as a product development research partner. So we're actually co-developing products with Alpine in their innovation labs to, you know, sell to the F1 market and then sell to the consumer market and things like that. They don't just come around easily. It takes years in the market and years of kind of growing that awareness. And now finally, we're starting to see these opportunities open. So the future of BFR is kind of unknown. There's so many things and so many opportunities that BFR itself unlocks, but specifically Hytro, because of its versatility, ease of use, and safe to use without, you know, supervision. There's so much stuff we can do. And every week we're finding a club come to us and say, oh, we've used it here. What do you think about this? Like when it was first used in the swimming pool, this was nuts. It was the World Cup. It was Belgium. And so the Belgium whole national squad bought Hytro for the World Cup. We just saw this video. They were all in a swimming pool using Hytro to recover. So they were strapped in while playing handball in a swimming pool. It makes total sense. Like, make the most of your playtime and get recovery in. with BFR, but we never knew you could do that with the product. Innovation, let's do the research, and we're doing that now. Same with the ice bath. A club got onto us and said, oh, we've used it in the ice bath. We thought it could be a cool augmented modality. And we're like, that sounds really incredible. Let's look at the physiology behind it. Lo and behold, we did a study with a club and it works. So there's a really long-winded answer to say, there's a lot going on. I don't know where it's going to end up, but the future is bright for BFR, definitely.
I think it's a really interesting insight into how when you have more users, those people are solving different problems for their situation. But actually, they can feed that back and solve more problems for more people. It doesn't need to be the company in this case tells everyone how to use it all the time. It can also be other people are telling each other how to use it, and the company eventually can do the research to back that up. I think that's a really interesting insight into how that world can work. And also to the
100%.
To the level of which it's used as well, right? Like the Belgium national team just go, yeah, do all of that, and we're going to do it in our way and make it really interesting for the players. That's fantastic.
I think when, like, you work in professional team settings with athletes, right? So when you have really innovative staff in a team working in that multidisciplinary area, you'll see stuff, you'll be like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'll look into that and I'll start working with them and collaborating. You're not necessarily in a silo. So it offers the opportunity in the environment to innovate, right? But the problem before was basically the tools in BFR. Like, they were exceptionally effective for what they did, for rehab, one-on-one, supervision, incredibly effective. But using a product like Hytro just means people can innovate on their own, because we know it's safe to use without supervision. It's like, right, you 15 girls over here, 15 athletes, go and try this. You know, I know it's safe, so it's okay. Go and try, come back and report back to me. And they've got some physiological data metrics being captured at the same time. You don't need to be there for that anymore, because they can go do it themselves because it's safe to do so. There's just opportunities opening up for people to innovate of their own accord.
Absolutely excellent. So, Warren, where can people find a little bit more information about you and Hytro and what's going on there?
Sure. I mean, there's the standard platforms, right? So we're on Instagram at Hytro. I'm on there as well. Shameless plug at Warren Hytro. LinkedIn's a good area to kind of keep up to date with what we're up to in the research, because on my LinkedIn, should I say, because I'm always putting up latest research that we're up to, what we're doing with clubs and professional sports settings. So it's a really, I think it's quite a cool little storyboard. And I think the main place I'd like to send people really is the journal on our website. There's a lot of really incredible stories, incredible athletes, incredible coaches on there. And we must have over 100 journals more at this point. We've collated a lot of data. So head to the journal part of Hytro website, and there's a lot of really tasty information.
Absolutely excellent. So Warren, massive thanks for your time and effort today. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to speaking again soon.
Thank you very much for having me, Matt. And yeah, we'll speak again soon.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, Matt.
And that's it. Once again, a massive thanks to Warren for all of his hard work on today's podcast. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did at home too. Before you leave, I want to point you in the direction of the Science of Sport Coach Academy. The Coach Academy is an overgrowing library of sports science courses which are broken down into bite-sized chunks. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast and you want to get your hands on some more great sports science information, all you have to do is hit the link in the show notes in just a few seconds time, and you can get in there completely for free for the next 7 days. And what's more, every time you complete one of the courses, you get a certificate of completion to prove your ongoing education. And lastly, before you leave, it would be fantastic if you could recommend us to a coach, a colleague, an athlete, or a friend. That means that we can keep bringing the best possible guests and the best possible content. And that's it. Once again, a massive thanks from me. I'm Matt Solomon for Science of Sport, and I'll speak to you next week.